China's central bank has stepped in yet again to try and bolster the country's flagging economy, cutting its benchmark interest rate for the sixth time in less than a year. The People's Bank of China also lowered the amount of cash that banks must hold in reserve, a move that will inject more than $100 billion into the Chinese banking system. This easing comes just days after new data showed the Chinese economy was growing at its slowest pace since the GFC. Our business editor Cheryl Bagwell is back with us on a Monday. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi, Fran.
Should we be worried or cheered by this action from the People's Bank of China?
Well, Fran, probably a bit of both. Global equity investors are certainly cheering. The news helped push the S&P 500 index in New York up more than 1% on Friday night, and that actually put the index back in the black for the year after that huge sell-off in August. The US has been becoming increasingly concerned about the slowdown in China. It's a big reason why the US Federal Reserve has delayed raising interest rates in the US despite a recovery in its own domestic economy. So more stimulus is seen by investors, equity investors at least, as good news. Particularly, remember, it came just a day after the European Central Bank signaled that it was also likely to embark on more quantitative easing this year. But on the other hand, commodity markets are seeing it as a bit of a negative. They seem to be worried that this China stimulus is actually signalling that the economy might be slowing at a faster pace than the data is telling us. We actually saw commodities like iron ore and oil fall on this easing on Friday. Official data, as you said last week, said the Chinese economy grew by on an annualised rate of 6.9% in the third quarter. That was just below the government's own target, but no one really believed that the economy was growing that strongly. And you might conclude from this that neither does the People's Bank of China believe it either, if it's still cutting interest rates. And the rate cuts do also come ahead of this major plenary session of the Communist Party this week in Beijing. It's where the leadership will thrash out its next five-year economic plan. It may even further downgrade growth. Now, you might also wonder how cheap money will fix China's long-term structural problems like an overcapacity in the manufacturing sector, a debt overload among many state-owned enterprises. But again, it's about all the central banks can do around the world at the moment.
Well, it's interesting. It's also lowering the amount of cash that banks must hold in reserve, as our government just last week said the opposite.
Right, exactly.
But speaking of central banks, do you think China's action will put pressure on the Reserve Bank of Australia to also cut rates again?
Look, it might do that, or it might just give them a bit more breathing space to stand on the sidelines for a bit longer. There's certainly plenty of reasons for the RBA to cut the cash rate, currently at 2%, so it could take it down to 1.75%. Of course, China is slowing, our economy is underperforming, and now it looks like housing construction, which is what's been helping with the rebalancing in the economy, now seems to be peaking. And of course, as you know, adding to the case for a rate cut is this decision by all the four big banks to raise their variable mortgage rates. They're doing it, of course, to recoup, they say, some of the estimated $20 billion in extra costs that come with these new rules that are forcing them to hold more capital as a buffer against the next financial shock. Now, some economists say the RBA should now step in to counteract this tightening by cutting the cash rate even next month. If the banks then passed on this rate cut, then home loan rates would be back to where they were at the start of the month. The logic is that if the RBA allows home loan rates to drift up, then this could be a drag on household and consumer spending just as we come into that crucial Christmas period. But whether it will be such a big drag, you know, it's open to debate. For the RBA, though, the key issue this week will be what's happening with inflation. The latest September quarter inflation data is due out on Wednesday. Inflation is still expected to fall within the comfort zone, the RBA's comfort zone of 2 to 3%. But if prices are found to have accelerated a little bit, well, certainly at an uncomfortable pace, remember the falling dollar makes imported goods more expensive, then the RBA will be reluctant to cut rates again in November. At the moment, market pricing on a rate cut next month is 50-50.
Oh, 50-50, okay. And of course, no guarantee if they cut the rates that the banks will cut them too. The Aussie dollar you mentioned there, it has been drifting up this month though. Could that cause the RBA to change its mind, you think?
Look, probably not at this stage. We've seen the Aussie float up about 2 cents this month, mostly as the US Fed began to get cold feet about raising interest rates this year. Now, about the Fed was expected to do that in September. It didn't. The Fed actually meets this week. And again, no move is expected because we've kind of seen the US economy pull back from its strong growth spurt in the first half of this year. We get initial readings of US GDP growth for the September quarter on Wednesday. Their forecast to show growth slowing from 3.9% in the June quarter to 1.7%. Mm. So halved in the 3 months to the end of September. Slower trade is the primary reason. Again, China looming there. Given these headwinds, we may not see rates rise in the US for a little while yet. Indeed, market pricing over there has a rate hike penciled in for March next year. So this, of course, takes the wind out of the US dollar sales, causing our currency to strengthen as a result. Currently, the dollar is buying 72 US cents. I mean, the RBA will be mindful of that, but remember the dollar is still 16 cents lower than it was a year ago, and it's below the 75% level that the RBA has said previously was fair value.
They're worried about. So will this wave of global monetary easing give the Australian share market a boost this morning?
Well, it looks like
can you predict?
Will, yes. Well, the futures market is predicting so. It has our market opening 1% or 55 points higher this morning after that rally on European and US share markets. Now, if that happens, then our market will be close to erasing its losses for the year after those heavy sell-offs in August and September. So good news for super funds. We've seen this market recovery, though, well underway in the US. It's actually been led over there by the recovery in the tech-heavy NASDAQ index. That's set to record a record high this week if Apple comes through with some strong earnings tomorrow, on Tuesday in the US at least, as expected. We saw strong earnings last week from Google, which is now called Alphabet. They've changed their name. And Amazon and Microsoft. So that's pushed up the NASDAQ. This month, the NASDAQ's up 9%, 6.2% for the year to date. It will also be a big week for our market. We get full-year bank results from NAB, ANZ and Macquarie Bank. The big four are expected to post combined earnings of $30 billion, that's a B, billion dollars this financial year. So, friends, something to keep in mind when you pay your higher mortgage this month.
That's right. Thank you very much, Cheryl Bagwell, our business editor.